please come fast. Lazarus is sick, and without your help, he will not last. Mary and Martha watch their brother die. They waited for Jesus, but he did not come, and they wondered why. The death watch was over, buried for days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here, the Lord's on his way. Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him. He'd still be alive. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. Now isn't it great, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Jesus said, Martha, show me the grave. But she said, Lord, you don't understand. He's been there 4 days. The gravestone was rolled back. Then Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. Then somebody said, he's alive, he's alive. Now you may be fighting a battle of fear. You cry to the Lord, I need you now, but he has not appeared. Well, friends, don't be discouraged, 'cause he's still the same. He'll soon be here, he'll roll back the stone, and he'll call out your name when he's 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you've waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. Well, isn't it great, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Oh, isn't it great, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time.
Amen. Let's all stand. Sing number 204 to Spiral Boat. Amen. Appreciate that, sister. Glory. What a day that will be. Amen. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eyes, and His peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness nor pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Amen. Are we looking forward to that? Glory. We'll change over the service. Amen. As Brother Wade comes this evening, Key of D. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. You want to see Him this evening? To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. To see You.
Amen. And we see Him in the Word. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here on Wednesday night. Good to see all your smiling faces. Pray for Brother Luis. He didn't get caught in an accident. He got caught in an accident. There was an accident and he got caught behind it. So they couldn't move. They've been sitting there for an hour or so. So I think they turned around and went back home. So they're watching in. So, No, I don't think I'm going to use it tonight. I think we're just going to review a little bit though. But I think that you got it in your mind what we're trying to, whether you believe it or not, it's left up to you. But, I just feel that we're coming to a time that, all those years that Brother Dale and all the different ministers kind of fought through the bushes, you know, now we should have a pretty clear path to get to where we're going. Amen. It's a lot better to have a road cleared out for you before you get started. You can make it down a 4-lane highway really good, but when it narrows down to a 2-lane, and then when it gets down to a 1-lane, and then when it gets down to a dirt road, and you got to get out and pick up sticks to get them out of the road, you understand what I mean? That's how they started with all people throwing sticks and rocks in the road, you know. But now I think we're on a 4-lane highway. I think that it's time that we're not looking for another prophet. We're not looking for another message. We're just looking to get out of here. We're looking at a time that, you know, we get up every morning with something new. Something's going on here. Something's going on there. Something pops up here. Something pops up there. But the eternal word of God never changes. And as I said many times before, we are going to make it. We may be, Brother Brown said, we will be battle-scarred veterans. We will not be sitting up there with, I got out in the garden for the first time today, and I got a blister. So that's the way it is with the gospel. We're going to have blistered hands, but we'll be sitting there across the table, and somebody will look over and say, how in the world did you make it? Through the worst, darkest age. Even though we've got the most intelligence, we've got TV, we've got, you know, we can carry the message in our pocket. Well, you know, John Wesley and all those, they would love to have had all their messages in a little cassette player or something they could put in their pocket and review with their, because you know what? John Wesley would preach a sermon and then he would go somewhere else. There was no recording of that. It had to be by the spoken word. Somebody had to relay it to someone else. So, me and you, we can get a question in the Word of God. We can, number one, turn to the Word of God. Then number two, we can, you know, go to the table, our folio views, and there's the message, and there's the quote, and there's the, you know, so we shouldn't be where we say, I don't know anymore. We should be that we know that we know that we know. Amen. By way of announcement, just remember that next Sunday, Brother Dale will be doing both services, so pray for him. Brother Bob will be gone. Brother Luis will be gone to Jacksonville, Florida. And I will be leaving Saturday to go to Brother Richard Hyatt's in Kentucky. We'll be back on Wednesday. Just pray for us. They're calling for a little snow up there, so it's okay. Also, communion will be on the 21st, which will be not this coming Sunday, but the next Sunday. On the 21st of February, we will have communion. All right? And also remember to keep everyone in prayer, all of us that are traveling. It's supposed to get really cold this week. Here it was 60 degrees, and Sister Cleta said ladybugs were flying everywhere. Well, the ladybugs don't come out when it's cold, but they better get back in because it's going to get cold this weekend. So welcome to Georgia weather. If you don't like it, wait 15 minutes. It'll change, right? So thank God we're going to a place that we don't need a thermometer. We don't need a thermostat. Amen? It's all going to be exactly the way you want it and the way I want it. So it's already been prepared before the foundation of the world. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews 9. We'll continue. We're just going to review today. We brought a few more quotes on eternal redemption. And I hope that you're listening anyway, because to get anything going right, what's the first thing you got to have? Good foundation. Got to have a good foundation to go from Adam to the future home. You got to know where Adam is. You got to know where you are. You got to know where Moses was. You got to know where all these different players in this great plan of God, you know, God just laid it out here in the Bible for us, but man has so watered it down and moved it around, and that's why God had to send a prophet, so that when we can read Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, we know that's for us. We know that was the end time people, and that Matthew 28, 19 doesn't contradict Acts 2, 38. Right. Amen? So we know that, and we, you know, I just rest my soul on that. I rest my soul on this message being right. And I just can't rest it on nothing else. I'm not looking for anything else. So if you're not looking for anything else tonight, then let's hone in on what we got. Amen. Take what we got. Prophet of God said, in these tapes lies rapture and faith. He didn't say on them. He said in them. In these tapes lies rapture and faith. Not just quotes, because like I said, quotes will kill you. But not when it becomes live. When it becomes live. Now, I tell you, though, when it becomes live, it's going to be like Jesus. We'll talk a little about that maybe later on. When Jesus became the Word made flesh, they called him a devil. Right? So when you take what's on this paper and you walk it and live it, people are going to hate you. Because they're going to say, well, why are you doing this and why are you doing that? Well, it's because the Word of God's inside of me. I'm trying to become the Word of God. Amen? Being a son and daughter of God. So Hebrews 9, verse 11 and 12. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you today in the middle of the week that we have a little time set aside, Lord, that we can worship in spirit and truth. We pray now that you would come and be the active participant in this service. You do the speaking, Lord, and you also do the hearing as far as the people sitting in their seats. Lord, they do not know what I'm going to say next, but Lord, you do. And maybe, Lord, you can give them a little spark into that theophany that we're talking about that come from you, Lord. And as the prophet said, the word met the word. So we want to do that tonight. Let the word meet the word, Father. And when we do that, then there's nothing Satan can do about it. He hates the word, but when the word meets the word, the prophet of God even says when two omnipotents meet, something has to happen. So we pray, Lord, that we all have needs in this church right now, Lord. Physical needs, spiritual needs. Our children have needs. Our grandchildren have needs. We have children that are lost. We have all the different things. Lord, we pray that you just during this time of this, from now till the whenever you come, Lord, that you'll just work in their life. Lord, just don't let them sleep until they find you, Lord. We pray that you would just be with each one now. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful thing if we had everybody here. All your kids didn't have to worry where they were. Had all your grandkids didn't have to worry where they were. You just keep claiming them because you know what? If you don't claim them, how are they going to come? You got to keep claiming them. You got to keep claiming them. Keep claiming them. Put the token over them. You know, ask some of these that have come back to the Lord. You place the token over them and they're like, Josh was like, leave me alone. You know, I mean, you get caught at every turn and every, not me. I can't be with you all the time, but you know, I know somebody that can. Right? Right, Brother Zach? But Christ being coming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So in other words, we know that the Old Testament was a type, and I've been reading in Leviticus, for my morning devotion, and man, I tell you, they had to give everything exactly right. Everything had to be done in order. Aaron had to do things in order. The priest had to do things in order. The sons had to do things in order. They had to separate, all the different parts of the animal. It wasn't like they just threw the thing on there and then walked out the door. No, it was a job. I'll bet you when those people were done, they were tired. But see, they didn't have to minister like we. Brother Brown says, you know, a preacher preaches a sermon, it's like working 8 hours a day. Right? It is. It's toil and a struggle and in all the times that we, to get the sermon and bring it in. But the priest, all they had to do was, they didn't have to preach a sermon, they would just, but more look at the physical work they had to do. But anyway, I just want, just, if you'll read those through, you'll think, man, it's not as easy as you think, just throw an animal up on there. No, they have to take the breast and the neck and the this and the that. Because you know why? The Word of God told them to do it. So how are you and I going to get by? That was my whole thought. How are you and I going to get by doing part of what the Word says? Can't do that. Amen? Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And we're going to just run through these real quick. These quotes that we've been reading, I like to read them anyway because it's the word of God. Amen. Phoenix, Arizona, 1955, Brother Brown said, Job, the oldest book in the Bible, was supposed to be even written before Moses wrote Genesis, but the oldest book in the Bible was speaking of redemption. Yet redemption was way before that. Redemption is one of the oldest things in the Bible. Did you know redemption was even before the plan of redemption was laid out before the world was ever formed? Think of that. God foreseeing. There's that foreknowledge we were talking about Sunday. And making a way of redemption before he even made the world. Because he knew we were going to fall. He could, by foreknowledge, know what we were going to do. So he had it laying right there for Adam and Eve, but it wasn't Adam and Eve pulling them through a tube. It was Adam and Eve with a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. They had a choice to make. From the get-go, they had a choice to make. Even Cain had a choice to make. Even when he killed Abel, God said, if you'll do this, you'll be fine. If you don't do this, if you do this or don't do that, sin lies at your door. So the plan of redemption had to be laid out before the foundation of the world because God knew we were going to mess up immediately. Amen? He knew that. But that's okay because that started the plan of redemption. I was thinking today, you look at that plan of redemption. You know, he laid the thing out just like you and I would lay a plan out, even though we sometimes lay a plan out and change it. God can't change his, but he still, in his mind, he laid out a plan. And that plan, to me, was written in 66 books of the Bible. Pretty simple, but very profound because they still take this 66 books of the Bible and preach all kind of doctrines out of it. So you got to get the love letter. That's why we needed a prophet coming in the end time to give us Eliezer to give us the love letter between us and Christ. Amen? Yes, praise God for that. Right, Brother Ray. Titus, let's read verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I want to ask you a question on that one. Who did he promise it to? There was nobody there. He promised himself. And we were inside of him when he promised it. I'm going to have children. I am going to have a world. I am going to have people that will worship me. I'm going to have this and that and the other. See, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest his word through what? Preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, which now is talking about the Apostle Paul. So let's go to Ephesians 1. Let's just go ahead and get some of these out of the way, and then we won't bring the chart out tonight, but we're just going to recap. Let's go to verse 4, save time. According as he has chosen us in him, remember, he chose us in him. You say, no, now you say you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice when it comes to that. But the reason he chose us in him was as he saw you choose him down here. Amen, is that all right? We're chosen in him by foreknowledge. Not by just remember. He didn't choose Donnie and not choose Daddy. But he knew by foreknowledge that he could put it in a place where Donnie could get it and even put it in a place where this one could get it, and he didn't want it. That's why Brother Brown said predestination's hard, because predestination is just like walking down that aisle. It's just predetermined. And being predetermined, God could write the Bible before the foundation of the world. But he didn't write the Bible making people do what they do. I mean, he hardened the heart of Pharaoh. I was reading the other day, you know, where he hardened Pharaoh's heart. But he told Moses, he said, I'm going to harden his heart. But now, still, Pharaoh had a choice. God didn't come down and say, no, you don't let them people go. No, he just put it before Pharaoh, knowing what Pharaoh would choose. You got to remember one thing. God cannot make you do something if you don't want to do it. Even though being God, but you know what though? Remember, he foresaw that. foresaw what you would do, and that you would come to a place maybe that you said, I don't care anything about this. I'm going in this direction and nothing's going to bother me. Well, that's like, you know, we were talking about the chart. Then there was no representation. Oh, they had representation, all right, but it was not representation from the eternal. It was representation just in life. Because when we drop down and come down to lifetime and matter, or light, time, and matter, we're going to see that all that comes down, but then all of a sudden you see Nimrod and all these different other players come into being that were not in the eternal mind of God, but he knew what they were going to do, knew where they were going to be, knew what they were going to do, and then he could work his plan. Just, to me, that's just the most perfect way to do it. But according to him, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what I asked somebody one time before. I said, look, it says, it's already, now look, it's predetermined that we're going to be holy and without blame. Now, as you and I are sitting here today, we are not. We are by the new birth, but not by our old birth. So he's already predetermined by foreknowledge who's going to keep going on and who's not, because those who he has justified, he's already glorified by what? Not by foreknowledge. I mean, not by predestination, but by foreknowledge. So see, you determine, as Brother Tom Fallbush always said, you trigger your predestination. In other words, you have everything in the world to do with it. It's not putting in a tube. Well, this is just the way I am. It is what it is. Oh, who says that? But anyway, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption. So he has predestinated us to come to a position by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now remember, you say, well, now he's always sure he's going to have a perfect will. But remember, we're working in permissive will right now. But he takes permissive will and works it right back to his perfect will. But now remember, the Bible also tells us that God's willing everybody would be saved, but not everybody's going to be saved. Because of the choice of foreknowledge, he can tell who will and who won't. To me, that's just so very simple. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us what? Accepted in the beloved. Now see, that's why Brother Brown said he really liked this scripture, because what it does is taking us to a higher plane. Only in the book of Ephesus could he do this. Only to the Ephesians could he talk this way, because they were a little more learned, that he could already tell them that we have already been accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now remember, Paul got a part of it, but he didn't get all of it. Remember, the book was still closed. The seals had not been opened. He was working under a closed book. He could take you, I believe Paul could take you just as close as anything to that, but he was not able to open the seals, because that was predestinated to happen in the end time. Because you and I needed a body change. Paul did not need a body change. You and I need a body change because there's no eighth church age. There's nothing we can throw this to. You and I, oh, this is it. We're either going to make it or not, but we're going to, because he saw somebody would make it. That was a mouthful. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, what? Right now. This is the fullness of time. I want you to understand that. This is where God wants to work. You say, oh, this is circumstances. Forget about circumstances. Remember we talked about the kookaburra. You're going to be sticky in this right here. You're going to be sticky in your memories and conscious affection and imagination, because that is what's killing us today, is our memory, our reasoning, our conscious, our affection, and our imagination. But now way down on the inside, though, when that kookaburra was changed into a wheat germ, when that wheat life was put inside that kookaburra, we're supposed to bring forth wheat. Look like kookaburra all our life. Think about that 90-year-old woman that Brother Brown saw When he went across the curtain of time, we'll talk about that in the sixth dimension. He went over there and that angel said, hey, you remember her? Well, no, he didn't remember. Because she was 90 years old when she came to the Lord. Well, she was a cuckabird for 90-something years. But you know what? She accepted Christ and became a wheat. And he saw that wheat in that sixth dimension. He didn't see the woman. He didn't see the woman he saw in that in this dimension. He didn't see the woman that was birthed by her mama and daddy a long time ago. He saw the new creature, the new creation, the new part of her. That what? When the cuckabird broke loose, guess what happened? There was wheat. Amen? Same way with you and I. So let's don't worry about the old cuckabird. That's why Paul says, let's go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of all these different things. Let's go on to perfection. Our problem is we're like the frog. We keep looking back. What gets me is you look at the world and it's a little bit funny, but mom can tell you, you open up the paper and you look at these people that have passed on and you look and you say, man, that girl, she was young. Well, she was 88 when she died, but that picture was her high school picture. Why do they do that? That's looking back. Everybody wants to look back to what they were. Forget that business. We're supposed to look forward. Go on. We got to worry about today. Stop that looking back that way. It really tickles. You know, you look at them and you go, boy, that girl died really young. She was 88 when she passed away, but it's her high school picture. So, but why do that? To me, that's false. That's just the whole world is... They were talking about today at work and about putting on makeup and how it was so hard and how it was, they had to get up 30 minutes early and, oh, I'd be a wreck and I'd try to put it on going down. That, to me, that's a lot of trouble. I'm glad y'all don't have to do that. I'd hate to see some of these women without the makeup on. Brother Brown said, look like a haint, not a saint. But see, be natural, be yourself. I don't know where that came from, but let's do that. Because we're getting ready to get out of here and everything, every piece has got to fit together. He might gather, that's what it's talking about in Leviticus. Read Leviticus and just read the whole Leviticus 1 through about 20 something. It's just, everything is so perfect. Everything's got to be overlaid with gold and this has got to go first and that's got to go this and this has got to go that and this go this way. But see, that's the same way, but that's a precursor to the Word of God coming through Jesus Christ, telling us, be therefore perfect. You don't have to do that anymore, but you got to do the things you're supposed to do written in the Bible. Look at them for our example. That in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. And I'm going to read a quote here in a little while that I haven't read before. And Brother Brown says, tells us that all things are now where? In the bride. Well, he gathered everything in Christ, and now we know we're in Christ, but Christ is not on the earth. Jesus Christ, the flesh man, is not on the earth. So where's his body? His body is me and you. So we now have, it's been transferred to us that you are what? You might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. See? You got to obtain something. You didn't come here with it. You came here with representation. But you didn't come here with nothing special. To me, that's so simple. How in the world can I walk up on the white throne judgment and say, well, he put it in me when I was born and I didn't have nothing to do. I'm eternal. I'm going to heaven. And then the poor guy that struggled and never, you know, God may have came to him and he turned him down, but still he's going to look at me and go, what'd you do that for him for? Why didn't you do that for me? If it was so easy for him, why can't it be so easy for me? No. The only reason that you and I are going to stand not in judgment, but at judgment is that we have took on Christ, gathered together one, all things in Christ. Christ was judged for me and you, and we don't have to be judged anymore. I'll read you a quote in a few minutes where Brother Brown said, we were in the loins of Jesus at Calvary, went to hell with him, rose with him, ascended with him, came back on the day of Pentecost with him. If you're a gene seed of God, that's exactly what happened. That's your journey. In whom also we obtained an inheritance. Fight every day for it, don't we? We fight every day. Being predestinated according to the what? Purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Amen? I like that. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, knowing that God wrote us down in a book, took a picture of us when we were 16 to 18, 20 years old somewhere, and put us in an album, and we were waiting to where we're going to read there, where we talked about in Psalms, where in continuance we came. We had to come. When God in Genesis, I'm telling you, that's how important that Genesis, if God had never spoke Genesis 1:26, you and I would never be here. The bride would not be on, ever been on the earth. But he spoke it and it had to come to pass. We were in the gene loins of God. And when he spoke it, it's just so much is done. But we were written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All right, number two, Christ the mystery of God revealed. Now God's secret mystery had before the world began. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and going to achieve. And look, he had a motive in doing it. What was the motive? In order to let him be expressed. Because first there wasn't even a moon, a star, an atom, a molecule. He was God. But he exactly wasn't God at that time because God is an object of worship. And there was nothing to worship him. So in his great mind, everybody understand when I put that chart, that one spot, that mind of God is where everything's got to start. Where does everything start with you? Right here. Your good and your bad starts right here. Right here. Then you either let it go out here or you keep it to yourself. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. But now remember, the thoughts of God are eternal. The eternal part. Because remember, he thought of Adolf Hitler, but Adolf Hitler's not an eternal person. But now remember, he's in the plan. Every player, everybody you meet, the people you don't even meet. Like I said before, there's going to be people given eternal life by what you've done that you'll never know until you get to the white throne judgment and God says, he changed your tire, or he did this, or he opened the door for you. I'm going to give them eternal life because of you. But you know what? Let God handle that. That's for God to handle. That's something that, you know, it's like Daddy said, you take that and you put it over here. You don't have to deal with it. Don't worry about it. You know, don't walk in a restaurant and somebody open the door for you and you go, well, you just got eternal life. You know, don't worry about that. Just do your daily duty and keep going. Let God handle all that. Because you know what? He already knows that before the foundation of the world. All right. And in him was love, and him was to be father, and him was to be son, and him was to be a savior, and him was to be a healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. And listen, go back, scroll back down. How could he be a father? You gotta have children. How could he be a savior? There had to be a people that needed saved. How could he be a healer? There had to be somebody sick so that he can display that attribute of healer. So you and I had to come to express our Father and his attributes. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. Because see, Brother Brown saw him as a healer. He saw him as a savior. Called him Papa God. So that, I mean, he saw all the attributes. Probably, I think, more than any prophet, he saw all the attributes of God coming together. Because he went back in the back part of God's mind. You know, you can say Paul could have said he went back in the back part of God's mind, but he didn't go in the part that Brother Branham went. Because we've got the open book. We've got where now that the seals are open, and we can see the full plan of redemption. Now, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery, and that's what I want to speak on the church this morning, the hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began. And how that's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. Now remember, it unfolded to a prophet, but remember, the prophet went off the scene in 1965, but that didn't do away with it. He saw all the way to the woman at the White House. He saw all the way to see, we think, well, no, He was standing prophesying that me and you would be here, what would happen when we're here, and even happen what's going to happen when we leave. According to the Bible. But he saw it in a vision. Because there's nowhere in the Bible that says the United States was laying in ruins or there would be a woman in the White House, right? But through the vision that connected with all the scriptures in the Bible, how that a woman would rule and be in Revelation 13 would be the, you know, America would be a woman's nation. But that had to come from the mind of God through the love letter because it wasn't written on paper. But you and I got that love letter. Oh, cherish it so much. The hidden mystery of God he had in his mind before the world ever began and how that it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living, see. Then you will understand clearly then, you see, on I believe, what is being done. Now we know that the next, what we come down to now is we're coming down to where God said, let us make man in our own image. And there's the one word I keep forgetting right here. God said. So it's a spoken word. We're spoken word children. He spoke and something came into being. He spoke and the world came into being. He made the beast and all the other different things. And God said, let us make man our own image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and of all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. God blessed them before they even got in flesh. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. What a wonderful thing that God did. But then he took that Genesis 1:26 man and he put him into flesh, right? Everybody got that? And then Brother Branham, we're going to talk about it a little bit later. Brother Branham said he put man in five senses to contact the earth. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Everybody got that? We've heard it forever. And that's what you live, look, that's what you live by. But remember, we're given a sixth sense, which is faith, to look into another dimension, that not to believe everything we see, not to believe everything we hear, unless we check it by that sixth sense. Right? Amen? We just don't take the five senses because you take all five of them. You can deceive all five of those senses. All five of them. You can deceive them and make them see things. Have you ever looked at those things? Go to YouTube and look up things where they give you a bunch of dots and you see like the number 9 and 5 and 4 and your depth perception. You're just looking at dots. But once you keep looking, see, it's always there, but your eyes were playing tricks on you and all the different things about, the different sizes of the length of things. Well, see, that's what I mean. That's what Satan then went to Eve and he got her to see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. All right. But it was contrary to the word of God. But now you and I are being changed back to the image to where, yeah, we see, but what do we see? We see by faith. I want to see you. You're not going to see Jesus tonight standing here in human flesh. But Jesus is now standing here today and sitting here today in human flesh. All right. So how far is that from where Adam was in the garden? And we'll get to talk about it when we talk about dimensions. I believe Adam could just go. I mean, this world is a big world. It was as big then as it is now. They just weren't as many people on it. But Adam controlled the whole world. So he could just go through any, I believe he could just travel anywhere he wanted to through the dimensions because Brother Branham said it was like the Holy Ghost brooded over the earth and watched after the earth now. The Holy Ghost doesn't need that wall. It just goes right through it. The day you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost didn't have to be a physical door open. Didn't have to cut you in, stick in it. No, it went to another dimension. A faster dimension. And that faster dimension is what we're heading to now. Because that sixth dimension, folks, is right there. It's just faster. It's a faster dimension. Folks, man has proved that. Fourth dimension is radio waves. Well, you can put a TV sitting right here and you can pick up everything that goes through this building. Unlimited. So don't you think God saw before the foundation of the world that he was going to make me and you the same way? Where we can not just receive what Satan gives us, but we can receive what God gives us. And by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's our spiritual rudder that turns us to and from. Listen, things bombard you all day. Right. Through the spiritual realm. It bombards you and you don't even know it. You don't know it. I mean, it's horrible to say, but there's cursing and everything going through this building right now. All you got to do is turn a cell phone on. Right. Or, sorry if there's any truck drivers here, but don't ever go to channel 19 on a CB radio. but it's going right through here now. And you being a spiritual being, you're picking it up. You just don't know it because it's going faster than you can hear it. Right. But if you got a receptor. Amen. See, now we have a receptor, the Holy Ghost, which receives now. It filters out all that other stuff. We're praying that it keeps all that away from us because, you know, this is the worst age because, you know what, even Brother Branham, when he first started preaching, there was not radio waves that much. I mean, there was a little bit come up in 1945, but now you look at all what's going on now with the cell phones. You know, you got 600 cable channels that you can watch, and not all of them are good, but they're running right through this. They're filling up that fourth dimension. Remember the Bible says hell hath enlarged its gates. Man had to enlarge the bandwidth. So now we go to HD, and let's go to HD. In the Word of God. Because it's a faster dimension that we can work in. How do you hear from God? You don't hear from God in this dimension. You hear from God in another dimension. Amen? Look at it. Look at us, folks. What God's done to us. What He's equipped us with. Every day. Even when you put a cell phone up to your ear. There's other things going through that you're not hearing because it's in another bandwidth, but it's still bombarding your spirit realm. Kids, be careful. That's where Satan is working right now. He's working in that fourth dimension trying to sway you to watch this, watch that, say this, don't say that, but you remember one thing. Your mom and daddy may not hear you, but God sure does. Right. Amen. Amen. So now let's go through this. But I don't think this is what I've been praying the first of the year. Lord, that we tap in more of what you've got for us. That we, like I said before, we may not know what 3 days from now holds or 6 months from now holds, what new something, but that thing inside of you does. Right. That thing inside of you. The reason Brother Branham could step over, like he said, step over and let God step in, he had a prophetic gift. Amen? And God could speak through him and show him things and show him visions. But now tell me where that's just for him. I thought he said we were to be prophetic people. We were to be little messiahs. So, let's tap into that. Right. Say, Lord, show me. Show me what's going to happen. Amen. Show me what's going on. Show me. Give me supernatural direction. Not just direction from this one and direction from the paper and the news and this and that and the other. Give me spiritual direction. Because that thing, folks, that thing inside of you knows all the way to the body change.
Amen.
That's what it's in there for.
Right.
And you know what we do? Wrap it up and tie it up and put a muzzle on it. We do. I challenge you to open that thing up. Let's see what God can do for us. Amen. The Word was not made to be harnessed. It was made to be released. It was made to be open, not shut. Amen. So now we know, let's talk about foreknowledge for a minute. And now we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are what? The called according to His purpose. Many are called, but few are chosen. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. So remember, it looks to foreknowledge first. We've been through this before. But those who He called, He justified. And whom He justified, not what you justified, is what some preacher justified, it's what God justifies. Then He also shall glorify it. What shall we say to these things? Say it with me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? So by foreknowledge, he knew. By foreknowledge, he knew whether you would or wouldn't. Watch this right here. The word predestinate, that's not a good word to use. I'm going to let a prophet do that for us. I wouldn't be strong enough to do that, but he said predestination or predestinate is not a good word to use. The word foreknowledge is better because predestination looks back to foreknowledge. So what was first? If here's predestination and here's foreknowledge, what's first? Right. Foreknowledge. Amen. He foreknew, therefore he could predestinate everything to go on and even predestinate all the way to the future home. Because there's John in Revelations 19 or 20, wherever it was, where he saw the city coming down. What was it? What did it look like? A bride adorned for a husband. All the way, the very end of the plan, there's still the bride. The mind of God being unfolded. Listen, the mind of God's not all been unfolded yet. Until we get to the future home, and then after the future home, it's going to be unfolded more. Right. We're just getting enough to get us out of here. And what a wonderful amount we have. If you'll just let God work. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destination. But God not making, look, set in order a little hole that you have to go through. And you can't go no other way. That's not what he did. But God, in order to be God, he knew the end from the beginning so he could predict it and set things in order to happen. I like that. You know why? There's no mess up in God. There's no foul up in God. There's no oops moment like we have. So I have to put my dependency then. That's what I put my dependency on, that he's right. And he knows what he's talking about. I just got to plug myself into that. Amen? I was thinking about that the other day. This is a perfect example, you know. And you getting born again. You know, you can be an air conditioner that makes things cold to minus 50 below. And you can have the right plug. But does it make its own power? No. You didn't come here with no power. But you know then, being the air conditioner that needs the power to work, if you know where the power's at, if you know where the power source is, then what do? You go over there and you say, God, I know what I need. And when you do that, guess what? The electricity always was there. Right. You weren't. Right. You were the air conditioner. You were the kookaburra. But if you know where the electricity, it's always there. It's there all the time. Unless you physically cut it off, there's power running to these circuits. Unless you hit the big breaker, there's power. Enough power there, Brother Danny, to make this place as cold as Alaska. But unless you reach over there and plug it in, see, that's what you got to do, people. You have a choice to plug that thing in or just sit here and go, I know where the power's at. I know I'm this something, but I ain't got enough. No, go and plug the thing in. There's your power source. There's your eternal life. This is not eternal. That's eternal. But once you plug it in, where does it go? Inside the air conditioner. And makes it run. So plug it in. But if we'd only go back to find out why God made his first man, he made him in his own image, and God is a spirit. So he had to make a spirit man. Now the word is used here in the fifth verse of predestination. Predestinate is not a very good word for an evangelist or a minister to use. Because it kind of confuses the people when you say predestinate. And it does, because I think it's Calvinism. Is it Calvinism? It's predetermined. I mean, it's like you're not going to do anything different than that right there. See, that's not true on that side. Then you got Arminianism, just whatever. But see what Brother Brown do? He pulled them both together. Yeah, right. He pulled them together, just like he took the two limbs off of the trees and put them together for Father, Son, Holy Ghost and the oneness, or the Trinity and the oneness, pulled them together. What? That's what the loose ends were, that the prophet had to bring the loose ends together, tie the cord back, plug the electrical cord in, and say, this is it. So predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge looks to destination. Predestination goes back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge goes to destination. In other words, God didn't say, now I'll make this man be this, and I'll make this man be that. But in order to be God, he knew the end from the beginning. In other words, he knew what that guy was going to do and what this guy was going to do. He could say this would happen and that would happen because he was God and knowed where everything would be placed. And therefore, he could ordain certain things for certain ages. You believe that? You believe that?
Amen.
You were ordained to be in this age right here.
Amen.
By foreknowledge. Adoption, 1960. Don't forget that election looks back here. Here it is. I was a kookaburra. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Born amongst sinners, father and mother and all my whole family sinners. I was a kookaburra. But all of a sudden I became a wheat grain. How did it happen? What is that? Election. God, before the foundation of the world, elected that the kookaburra was to become a grain of wheat. Now remember, election, you gotta go look back to foreknowledge though. Take it all the way back to foreknowledge. He foreknew that you would want it, and you elected on your side. God voted for you, Satan voted against you, you swing the vote. Elected that the kookaburra was to become a grain of wheat. Now I know I'm a grain of wheat because I'm saved. How did I do it? Look back and see that he predestinated it a long time ago. That's not a problem for you to look back to that. I'm talking about looking back on you, what's down here. But you can look back and see that God, before the foundation of the world, that's where you were. We're going to get to it in just a second. I know I'm a grain of wheat because I'm saved. How do I do it? You know, I was thinking the other day, Brother Branham is preaching to Presbyterians. I don't know what exactly they believe, but Baptists believe once saved, always saved. You got one doctrine of denomination that, well, if you're doing good at the moment you die, you're okay, but if you don't, you're not. And see, even Catholics the same way. You know, you do your penance and you get put in purgatory and all that stuff. But see, I believe that's why God said no before the foundation of the world. He said, if you got eternal life tonight, he was telling those people, don't worry. If you know you got it, look back and see that you were in the mind of God. And that you are now a wheat grain and can't be. Listen, God's not an Indian giver. He can't take a kookaburra and make a wheat germ out of you and then turn around and say, no, you're not good enough. I'm going to make you back a kookaburra. No way God cannot do that.
Right.
So if you're a wheat germ tonight, you always was a wheat germ in the mind of God.
Amen.
Look back and see that he predestinated it a long time ago by foreknowledge. He's seen that I would love him. See? He's seen that I would love him. So he made a propitiation through his own son that through him I might become from a kookaburra to a grain of wheat. Now where I am at now, I'm saved. I'm walking in the grace of God. What does predestination look? To destiny. Where will he take me to and where am I going? That's got you. There you are. I like that. That's got you. There you are. All right, number six. 1964, questions and answers. How can I take a kookaburra and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. It's impossible for you to save yourself. No way. Jose, you can't save yourself. So, accept that. Accept that it's impossible for you to get good enough and be good enough to be saved. The only way it can be is because inside that kookaburra has been transmitted from a kookaburra wheat, a kookaburra, to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury that kookaburra and it'll produce a grain of wheat, that's right. Because there's been a life of wheat put in the kookaburra. And the life of the kookaburra has been taken out. But the nature of the kookaburra is still sticky. In other words, you still got this thing. You still got your memory, reason, conscience, effects, and imagination. And it will be until this new life has fully been developed. Thank God the Bible says old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
You won't remember the bad things. You won't remember the hardships that you went through.
Amen.
And it will be until this new life has fully been developed out of the ground and raised up again. In other words, in the resurrection or in the body change. When it comes forth, then it's no more kookaburra, but wheat. But wheat. But while it's here on the earth and out of the earth, a kookaburra, it's still sticky. But it's got the nature on the inside of it of wheat. And as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live.
Right.
But the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ and all the sin is gone from you. See, that's the thing. Number seven. Seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. But that's what you are. We are now a wheat germ, a grain of wheat in God's garner when we was a kookaburra. And God changed us from a kookaburra to a grain of wheat. It makes the fruits different. Changing your own mind, your own ideas, it's the greatest miracle that ever happened. When a man or a woman is born again of the Spirit of God and becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus, the greatest miracle. That you're still in that shell that came from mom and daddy, you still got that old Adamic nature, you still lean back to the old carnal mind, but inside of you is Almighty God. And He's never going to take it back out. You look at that example Brother Branham gave of that preacher. And listen, you can be influenced by spirits. Even it took a prophet of God to tell us that even if you commit suicide, you still can be born again. Because see, there's a lot of people, a lot of denominations, if you commit suicide, you're hell. You never were a Christian. And some of them are pretty prominent, Baptist for one. But thank God for a prophet that said you can get influenced by a spirit and commit suicide and still be a Christian. That's hard to fathom, but I can see how it happens. Cause see, memory, reason, conscious effects, and imagination, that's still in Satan's realm. I mean, God works in there too, but you can yield yourself to the devil. Look at that preacher that said, I ain't preaching no more. I'm done. I'm finished with it. I'm going to get me some beer and I'm going to get drunk. Right? Brother Ramsey. Okay, he lived for 6 months, Brother Brown said. God took his child home so he wouldn't mar his name. What? He was a born-again child of God, yet he let something influence him so much until he started doing things, but I'll promise you, you won't do them long. Right. If you're a child of God, he won't let you. But see, he didn't take it away from Brother Ramsey either. Right. He didn't put it in there and say, nope, you're the cockabear the whole time. No. No, he had the wheat germ planted, but he just allowed other things to get in his way. Thank God that we had a prophet that could tell us these things. All right, let's go to representation. We know that we were talking the other Sunday about the little woman at the well. Remember, now, she was standing there in front of Jesus, and she was a prostitute. She was a whore. She'd had all kind of husbands. She was living with a man now. She must have had some men problems somewhere down the road. But remember, somewhere though, she heard the word of God. And that word is the seed, nothing else. And what was happening was, God was standing in front of her, Jesus Christ, that was the word, that was the seed that she was waiting on, because she's still standing over here. She said, we know when Messiah comes, He'll do these things. And He said, I am He. Well, that didn't do nothing but just spark exactly. She said, oh, this is what we've been waiting on. And she run back into the city and said, come see a man. She had representation, the prophet said. The representation of foreknowledge, knowing he was going to meet that woman, knowing what she was. She could have just done like the Pharisees and said, you just guessed that, buddy. I'll see you later. There's no telling how many people that Jesus met that done that. He's just a good guy, because you read the Bible, and if you read the comments of the Bible, oh, he was a good man. That was Joseph's boy. That wasn't Joseph's boy. That wasn't Joseph's child. But they said, oh, that's Joseph's boy. That's the carpenter's son. He's a wine bibber. He hangs around sinners and... How about that? But they didn't have representation. From predestination... And what comes before predestination? Foreknowledge. This is one he foreknew that would come. Look, she was looking, look, she's got representation, see, and then she was looking for this to be made flesh. Doesn't matter what kind of condition she was in. Somewhere in her life, she had heard mama, daddy, sister, brother, some preacher talk about when the Messiah gets here. She might have been living with five people. She might have been doing all the bad things in the world, but something inside of her, amen, I believe that. Right. There was something different because she got representation that she said, roll it up. She said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Right. Now, when we know the Messiah, which is called Christ, will come, and when he does, he'll do this. He said, I am he. And that sparked that seed that she had read somewhere in the Old Testament where the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child and his name shall be Emmanuel. And he will come and he'll be come out from a tribe of Judah and he'll come from this and he'll come from that. All that went going through her mind. But listen, she would not have got eternal life if she was just a prostitute and didn't do nothing but read Good Homes and Garden. You understand what I mean? But God foreknew that. He saw that.
Right.
He approached her. Thank God he approached her. He was in human flesh.
Amen.
No more doubt. You didn't have to explain it. She saw it. She believed it. Away she went. What did it do to her? It redeemed her. Now remember, we said that before. She didn't get eternal life right there.
Right.
No way, folks. Listen, Jesus hadn't died yet.
Right.
Now, let me give you a little thought. She was inside of him. Her representation was inside of Jesus Christ. Because if we were in the loins of Jesus Christ and went to Calvary and she became a born-again believer, she was right there with him. Same way was Mary. Mary, his mother, had to go to Pentecost to receive the Holy Ghost. But what she needed was inside the Son that she birthed. You'd think if anybody had a free pass to heaven would be the one that suckled him and kept him and nope. No, God is no respecter of person. There's no telling how many virgins God came to and said, will you do this? And they'll say, nope. But Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. Your words will condemn you. By your words you shall be justified and by your words you shall be condemned. What does redeem mean? Bring back. Why didn't he get the priest? He never was up there. He had no representation. He came to redeem that which had fallen. In the fall, this got messed up with that girl. But God had her in his thinking there. Go back to the thinking before the foundation of the world. And he came to cleanse her. Then she had eternal life, see. Where the priest, what did it do to him? Send him right back to his destination. He had nothing to begin with, only intellectual learning. Now listen, friends, the only thing you've got is just intellectual learning. You get something different from that, and you'll never be able to get it unless you've got representation.
Amen.
See, now there I can go with always was. Because God can't change his mind. But he saw, though, what you would choose. He saw, though, what the woman at the well would choose. He saw that Caiaphas would hate him. Hate him. He said, salvation is of the Jew, woman. We know what you're talking about. We know what we're talking about, he said. You worship, you don't even know what. A Jew's supposed to know the word, see how it was supposed to be. But see, he was watching now. Why? What is he going to do? Now, Brother Branham, in another quote, he says he was catching her spirit.
Right?
He was catching her spirit. Y'all wake up! Grief, it's Wednesday night. He was watching now. Why? What is he going to do? Prove his word. Why? Because he's fixing to discern right now. He's seeing a vision. He's discerning the thoughts of her heart. By the way, go get your husband and come here. She said, I don't have any husband. He said, you've told the truth, lady. See? Because you've had five and the one you now have is not your husband. See what? Something happened. Something took life. What was it? That word that she had heard, it sparked something. She's like, man, this is the guy.
Right.
This is the one we've been looking for.
Right. Amen.
Now, if it hadn't have been in there to begin with, what? That predestinated thought
right.
in the mind of God
right.
is what she tapped into.
Right.
She hadn't, if she hadn't had representation from predestination, which was before predestination? From foreknowledge. It never took hold. God who is rich in mercy. Watch this one. Now, if you've got eternal life tonight, if we have eternal life than we always were. Because there's only one form of eternal life. We always were. Always were, eternal in the mind of God. And the reason we were, because we are a part of God, and God is the only thing that's eternal. And like as Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham and it was allotted to his great-grandson Levi, who was yet in the loins of Abraham, paid tithe for he was yet in the loins of Abraham, God showing predestination, showing foreknowledge. I want to speak on that over in the other place one morning. Who is this Melchizedek? Now read the book, Who is this Melchizedek? Now notice, way back, God knew this boy coming down. He knowed all things. Now we are a part of God. You always was. You don't remember it. Because you were only an attribute in God. Listen, you were literally inside of your daddy when he was a little boy. Literally. In what? In DNA. Not as a person. You don't become a person until you get a soul. And you didn't get a soul inside your regular daddy. Come on, people. Good grief. But through what? A bedding ground allowed by God between the union of a man and a woman, your body was produced. And then God had to give you a soul.
Right.
Your mom and dad didn't give you a soul. They got you here so God could give you one.
That's right.
But you were in His thinking. You were only an attribute in God. You were only in His thinking. Your very name, if it ever was on the book of life, it was put there before the foundation of the world. He knew what you were.
Right.
I'm only saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out that we might get away from this fear and scare. There He is. The fear and scare. What is the fear and scare? Oh, we may not make it. Oh, well, you may, if you get caught having a bad thought and you die, you're going to hell. No, that's all fear. That's fear, fear, fear. You don't know who you are. You are not going to be, but now you are the sons of God. You were a son of God before the foundation of the world. You were an attribute in the mind of God. You were inside your literal daddy and even go back to your granddaddy and your great, great granddaddy. In gene, in genetic form.
Right.
Not running around. You couldn't find you.
Right.
But see, God being God, you couldn't find us in God only through the Word.
Right.
But He was the Word.
Amen.
He was the Word made flesh. You don't know who you are, you're going to be, but now you are the sons of God. See, you always were the sons of God. For when God had you in where? In His thinking.
Right.
At the beginning. You have to be. Some part of you, your life that's in you now, had to be with God before there. Let's continue on. Let's go to the very bottom of that quote, if you don't mind. It seemed like there was something in you that cried out. We read this last Sunday. There was God somewhere, yet you were a sinner. You remember that? Amen. Certainly. How many times did you friends go out and party and you don't go with them because of something going on, something that just didn't feel right. You might have just thought it is luck. But folks, I don't believe in luck. Because you have an angel. If you're going to come to a spot where God's going to talk to you, you're going to have to make it to that time. But one day, after a while, you heard the gospel. That was that little form of life in you then. Form. The Word. We all were preached to. Hello!
Yeah.
We all were preached to even when we were little kids.
Right.
Yep. Amen.
And where did it stick? Somewhere.
Right.
It stuck up here. Where's the first womb? Up here.
Right.
And then after a while you heard the gospel. Maybe you went to church. You picked this out and that out. Went from denomination to denomination. But one day, you being part of God, you had to be part of the Word. So where is your representation? In the Word.
Amen.
And then you heard the Word. You knew where you came from. You knowed what was the truth. You were always, the seed was in you always. What? That planting of the Word was in you.
Amen.
The Word seen the Word that was in you. That was before the foundation of the world is when it saw you, not the day you got born again. Oh my goodness. But you got to remember, you had to come to that. Because remember I read you the quote where Brother Brown said, your eternal life started at the altar. You had a time when you started your Christian journey. You wasn't always a Christian.
Right.
Hello. I think we can all be obvious with that.
Right.
the Word, seeing the Word that was in you, that was before the foundation of the world, saw the Word, and you came to it. There's no way you can't. Invisible union, number 11. Let's go to the... Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Go back up, because I got to read this one thing. I didn't read it the other day. Can't you see where we're standing? Life is in the grain again. What is it? Just exactly like the same grain that went in the ground. Now, he's talking about us being like Jesus Christ. Is everybody okay with that? That's what he's saying. Just exactly like the same grain that went in the ground, the same Jesus in the bride form. Same power, same church, same thing, same Word. The same Word sucked up through these and came out here and came to a head. Where? In this age. And all that life that come up through here picked up his people. What? Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Amen? It was the same life. Now it's forming up into a head for the rapture. Speaking on that tomorrow night or next night, one, Lord willing. Well, you separated from your first union by spiritual death. What? You were born, I'm going to read it here in just a few minutes, you were born between Satan and Eve. Well, you separated from your first union by spiritual death. Now you are born again, are remarried again to the new spiritual union of not your natural life or the things of the world, but of eternal life. That germ that was in you at the beginning found you. Amen? Now let's read this one that nobody likes in the whole message. Nobody likes to read this one. Well, we do. Because see, this breaks your always was. That's the matter today. You want some kind of phony makeup, screaming, jumping, speaking in tongues or something, instead of waiting for the real Word of God to be made manifest through the bride. Them kind that takes the Word is God's true bride bringing forth children. They can't die a child. The bride brings forth on the Word cannot die because you now are the Word. Did you get it? She can't die because that child can't die because she's a Word child. She's a seed child. She's an eternal child. Hallelujah. That's exactly what Jesus was, a spoken eternal child. Don't have to die, but he did in order to pay the debt. That's the only way it could be paid. Nobody else could do it. They were all sexual born after the devil, his plan. You got it now? But look, watch this now. But every man, no matter whether he's pope, priest, bishop, prophet, whatever he is, he dies because he's a hybrid. That's exactly. He was born between Satan and Eve. You can toot your whistle all you want to. You can toot it when you're born again, but you can't toot it when you get born between them two people. And you know what that's meaning? The act between Satan and Eve is how you got here. Between your mom and daddy by permissive will. Right? But you weren't supposed to be. Look, he says, and they call it whatever you want to. It was Satan and Eve. The original Word had nothing to do with it. That Genesis 1:26 man had nothing to do with that union between Satan and Eve. Or that union between your mom and your daddy. But by permissive will to get you here, it had to come that way. To be a healer, savior, redeemer, and all these other attributes. The original Word was life. He had hybrid it, and it brought death. We good with that? All right, who is this Melchizedek? To me, this explains the whole thing. Just read it slow. When you get home, you can read it again. They bring it. They have this online so you can read it, and some of you have the notes. Now, we see the attributes sons of his spirit have not yet entered into the Word form body, but a theophany. This body is subject to the Word and earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. So we're waiting for this cuckabur right here to be changed into wheat. But we had to have some kind of wheat to get started with. We got to have a wheat germ inside to get started to make that wheat plant bring forth wheat life. That's why you had to be reborn, Nicodemus. You have to be born again. Born from above, not between your mom and daddy. But a theophany, this body is subject to the word in earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Now, the difference between him and you as son, see, he was at the beginning the word. Remember, he was an eternal child. He was eternal before there was an eternal. Hello? Jesus Christ never... Anyway. Now, the difference between him and you as son, he was at the beginning the word and in Morphe body. Now, in other words, you got to remember this. Watch, listen to me. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We know that. But remember, he was not a son like me and you are a son. He was not in an act, he wasn't in the Father running around as an attribute. He was the attribute. He was the Father made manifested. That's the difference in me and you. That's why Adam couldn't save Eve. He was not a savior. That was not his attribute. But God said, I'll put enmity. I'll come and save this thing. I'll come and put it back. Because look, now the difference between him and you as son, see, he was at the beginning of the word. Now see, you potentially were, but you can't be the word, form body, in what I'm looking at right now. You had to come born in sin, born between Satan and Eve. He was at the beginning of the word and in Morphe body. He came in and lived in that in the person of Melchizedek. Then later we never see no more of Melchizedek because he becomes Jesus Christ. Not two different people. Whatever the attribute that came to Abraham, it's the same attribute that died on the cross. It's just the problem was Melchizedek was a body spoken into existence as a full-grown man where Jesus was born a baby like you are. So he could be called your brother. He could be what? Your kinsman redeemer. He couldn't just be a redeemer. He had to be a kinsman redeemer and redeem back that what was lost. I thought, Brother Bob, I knew the plan of salvation. I didn't know it as much as I know it now. And you should take every piece of that plan of salvation and see how God, what he had to go through to get you here. Regardless of all the other stuff, what the devil throwed out, and he was God's right-hand man. God let him deal in all these different things. Yet God had a plan to get you here. And that was nothing. Nothing. Gonna stop it. You know why? Because if he thought it, it's got to come to pass. And it can't change from there to here. He just changed his mask. Same person, same personality, but he put on another mask and became Melchizedek. Then that Melchizedek couldn't come over here and be Jesus Christ as a human mortal man. Come as a man. He had to come as a baby. Because you had to come as a baby. Then later we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Now you bypass that. Remember, you didn't come full grown with an eternal body or an eternal soul. You didn't come that way. You bypassed that. Remember, you had to go around it. You couldn't come straight from attribute right down into human flesh because you're lost. We'll prove that next time we preach and we'll see that when the sin happened, there was no way for man to get back here and there was no way, listen to me, there was no way for God to get to you. Right. Well, why didn't he give Moses the new birth? Why didn't he give Isaiah the new birth? Why didn't he give all these people in the Old Testament? Because he had to come himself. Right. And he was the Father. He was Jehovah God down through the Old Testament right here though. Right here. Blood of bulls and goats covering. It was, but when he come down through that. He came down through all that junk and became human flesh so that he could take that blood of bulls and goats away and put his own blood, the blood of a man. Not the blood of bulls and goats. And the blood of a man that can multiply and replenish the earth by spoken word, not by sex. Because you came like Adam, like me. Because remember, Adam had sex with Eve. Adam had more children. You understand what I'm talking about? Like me. You became from attribute to the flesh to be tempted. But when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Remember, it's not up in heaven. You are who you are. Where's the attribute of God if you're born again? It's not sitting up there in heaven somewhere. It's down inside of you. But when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That's where we go. That is the word. Then we can look back and see what we've done. And now we don't understand it. We have never become the word. In other words, we've never become the total word of God. Total word of God, you got to go back to Genesis 1:26. Now it's come down and come inside of you, but you still got the cucumber shell. But then look clearly. Makes it clear. You will never be the word unless you was a thought at the beginning. That proves the predestination, which that's not a good word, so that proves the foreknowledge of God. I'm just quoting the prophet. See, you can't be the word unless you're a thought. You had to be in the thinking first. But see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass that eternal Genesis 1:26 man. You didn't come with that. God held that. But God came here on earth with that inside of him called Jesus Christ. The very soul of Almighty God was Jesus Christ. And where were you in the attribute form? You were in there. Amen. I'm going to read your quote here in just a second. If you'll just give me a few minutes. You had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. And then if you stand, all the Father hath given me will come to me and I'll raise him up to the last day. See, you had to be first. And then you see he came right down the regular line from attribute. Before the foundation of the world, his name is put on the Lamb's Book of Life. And from that, he becomes the Word, the theophany, that could appear or disappear. Then he became flesh and returned back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. Talking about Jesus Christ. But you bypassed the theophany and became flesh man. To be tempted by sin. And then if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the body. See, when those saints died and stepped into that sixth dimension, they couldn't bring that body with them. Right? But there was a body being built inside of their human body. A theophany. The Genesis 1:26 man was being nourished and then when they stepped over into a faster dimension, the body can't go. It has to stay here in time, life, and matter. Matter means they can't get out of the grave. Because it's solid. But you didn't have to open the door to let their soul go outside or go into that sixth dimension. They just stepped into a faster dimension. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. It throws this body into subjection by God. Number 13, look. Sons and daughters was in God at the beginning. Amen. Where were you, Job, when the sons of God shouted for joy? Back before the eternal. But we weren't people running around. Listen, just think, if you were all-knowing, it didn't matter how much time it took. If you knew in your loins that by the spoken word of God you could create 6 million sons and daughters, you'd be so happy because that's eternal people that's going to spend eternity with you. That's what he was looking at. That's what he was shouting for joy. He saw you. He saw us develop. He saw the seventh church age. He saw the junk that we had to go through. And he said, I'm pleased to dwell in those people. Amen. Sons and daughters within God at the beginning. Now look, you've got eternal life, you say. Oh, you got eternal life, you say? We believe it, that we got eternal life. Well, there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. That's the only thing that is eternal is God. Then if you've got eternal life, if that life that's in you always was, and you were in the loins of God, before there was even a world. What is the loins of God? It's the Word of God, not down here. It's the Word of God. Remember, we're born from up here, from God. You were in the loins of God before there ever was a world. And when the Word itself, Jesus himself is called the Word. And in St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then you were in the loins of Jesus. Amen. And went to Calvary with him. You died with him. Let me interject a little bit. You went to hell with him. That, you don't have to go to hell. You already been there.
Right.
And you came out victorious.
Right.
You came out with the keys.
Yep.
I'll clap myself.
Right.
You came out with the keys. You died with him. You raised with him. And today we're sitting in heavenly places in him, filled with his spirit, sons and daughters of God. Die with him, raise with him, sure. Now then, now you can fellowship with him. You couldn't fellowship. In other words, you couldn't fellowship back there because you were just a word in him, a seed. Where? In him. Listen, your natural mom and daddy didn't carry that seed. You can carry the word. You carried natural seed because you had to come through Satan and Eve. You had to come the natural way. God had to rebirth you. That's why it's called reborn. That's why it's called a new birth. You were reborn from where? Jesus said from above. That's where it all started. That's the mind of God. But now he has manifested you. And now he wants you to fellowship with him. Why did he get you out for? To fellowship with you. Then he came down, was made flesh, so he could perfectly fellowship with you. See the perfect fellowship? Oh my. Them deep mysteries of God. How wonderful. See, God could not fellowship in the Spirit, so God became man with us.
Amen.
They tried to figure him out all during the Old Testament. Never could figure him out. Even when he came in human flesh, they didn't understand him. But boy, when he came back into the people on the day of Pentecost, they started understanding. He talks about, I can't brag on my ancestors. I come through an awful mess. Father was an Irishman. Mother was an Indian squaw, half Indian. Her mother was an Indian, drawed a pension. All of them drunks. Most of them died with their shoes on, fighting, gunfighters and so forth. I can't brag on nothing about that because my ancestors and my family tree is terrible. But brother, there's one thing I can brag on. I can brag on my Lord Jesus who has redeemed me. And with his transforming power, planted a seed by predestination, and I saw it. What? He saw Brother Ram see it. Saw the word. Preached the word. Somebody preached the word. He saw it. Got convicted. Got saved. Whose son am I now? Yeah, I can brag on him. And I've spent 33 years of my life bragging on him. If he would spare me another 33 years, I'll try to brag more on him. Can we say the same? I can brag on my ancestor, hallelujah, he that redeemed me and planted the seed of life in here and let me look down upon the word, sent down his spirit and said, here it is. And you accept it. And it says what? Speak this and it will happen. Do that. Oh my. I can brag on him. How did he do it? Through the washing of the water by the word. The waters of separation. One more quote and we'll be done. Number 14. Musicians, get ready to come. Invisible union. This one, I listen to this. If you're married to Christ, Christ is the Word of God. Now look, if you're married to Christ, Christ is the Word of God. In St. John, the first chapter said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ was the living Word. He always was the Word. He is still the Word. He always will be the Word. He was only the manifestation of the attributes of God, for he was the Son of God. Not a Son of God. He was the Son of God. All the attributes were in him. Every one of them. And look, and any son is the attribute of his father. Just as you were in the genes of your father, now naturally, in the body of your father when he was a young boy. You were in him, yet he could not have fellowship with you because he didn't know you. But then through the bedding ground of a mother, you were brought forth into the earth and became in the image of your father, earthly. Then he could fellowship with you. And so were you, sons of God and daughters of God, before there even was a moon, star, molecule. You were sons and daughters of God, for you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that was in God at the beginning. Physical. You had to come down here and get in flesh so that you can fit. Listen. How do you worship God? In spirit and truth, right? But where is that spirit? It's inside your cucumber. You make that cuckabur raise his hands. You make that cuckabur not look at a woman, look over here. You make that cuckabur do all these different things. Amen? Why? Because you're a son and daughter of God. You heard from your theophany. You heard the word of God. You are sons and daughters of God, for you are only the physical manifestation of the attribute that was in God at the beginning. For there's only one form of eternal life, and that was you before. Now look, before, not when you was born a baby, before the foundation of the world. You don't know nothing about it. Neither do you know when you was in your earthly father. But you are manifested too in his image. In the image of God, you are made. And you are manifested for the glory and the fellowship of God. And therefore, this is going to sum the whole thing up right here. And therefore, as sure as your gene had to be in your father before your natural birth, your spiritual gene had to be where? Not in your daddy. Had to be in God, because you're an expression of the attribute of his thoughts before the foundation of the world. Listen, we as fathers loved it when we went into that waiting room and we knew there was a baby coming. But when I was growing up, you didn't know the sex of the child, so it was a big surprise then. Right? Now you can find out 3 days after. So, yeah, there's no secret to it. But what about those, feel the emotion, men, feel the emotion. Women, you too, feel the emotion of knowing that there's something coming. There's a life coming. Don't you think on the day you got born again that your daddy was standing right there and he was saying, I'm fixing to see one of my kids. I'm finally, after 2,000, after 6,000 years, when I spoke Genesis 1:26, I'm now seeing one of my children being born. Well, if a human man could be happy and a human woman could be happy, what about a God that knew when it was going to happen, yet he was still happy the day that you got born again? Oh, what much? You can't do nothing else but worship him and serve him. Your spiritual gene had to be in God because you're an expression of the attribute of his thought. You were a spoken word child. Right? No way around it. That's right. Now we notice then that life being in you, God's life being in you from the foundation of the world. But something had to happen. Let's go to the next, this scripture we've been reading. Let's read it one more time. Psalm 139. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You know, Job looked one day and he said, oh, that my name would be written in a book. Oh, that I could see what was going to happen. Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect for all those years that we walked in sin and all the different things. But yet daddy was standing there that day ready for a child to be born. Knowing you would come to a place, knowing you would come to a place, knowing you all would come to a place. And in thy book, all my members were written. Which in continuance, in other words, one right after the other, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. He had to wait. What a patient God. But when he waited, he wasn't. Listen, God's never gonna ask you, why did it take you so long to get born again? He knew exactly how long it would take. But he was so patient that he would patiently wait on everyone in continuance, knowing we were born in sin, knowing what we would do. Listen, that's the same way as the children of Israel. I mean, you can see justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost right there through the children of Israel. Children of Israel, what? Chosen of God. Amen? He knew, though, 40 years later, there's only two of them going to go in. Yet he babied them right through justification. What? Stood at the water, put that stick down. 2 million people walked across on dry ground. And he looked, and what did he say? He turned around and he said, those Egyptians you see today, those sins that you see today, you'll see them no more. Justification. And then sanctification is kind of interesting how they went through the wilderness of what? Sin. But you watch them, what they were doing though, God was getting them ready. Knowing only two was going to make it. Plus the little ones, now I'm talking about, but the original group. He knew what they would do, yet he would continually tell them, when you get in the promised land. Now see, that's you in sanctification, because he knows who's going to make it and who's not. So he's going to take you through this journey, and you're going to cry for water one day, and you're going to cry for this one day, and you're going to cry for this one day. You're going to loathe that bread that, my goodness, I'd love to have. It tastes like honey. Come down, all you had to do was go pick it up. No money involved. But yet God just didn't, he said, I know they're all going to die. He said, but I'm going to baby them right through sanctification. And that's what, the unclean spirit goes out. What was he doing? He was driving out all them unclean people that wasn't going to make it to the promised land. But then they walked up to the promised land, and what did Caleb and Joshua and Caleb stood there and he said, give me my mountain. He said, I'm more able now than I was 40 years ago. And Joshua and Caleb took all the young ones and they went into the promised land atop of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But remember what happened as soon as they got there. They had to fight their way for every piece of ground. Every devil was still over there in the promised land. Oh, by the way, yeah, the devil's still here. Let's stand to our feet. But if you can't see that in the children of Israel, man, God just through the whole wilderness of sin, you know, because remember, in sanctification, you're not born again. You have sin. You go through all these different things, but God is what? He's driving out the unclean spirit. He was driving out all that stuff. He said, don't go after other gods. Don't marry other people. Stay away from the Hittites and the Hivites. Stay away from all these websites and all these other ites. That's your sanctification. That's your journey. But he knows who's going to make it and who doesn't. You got to choose whether it's you or not.
Right.
Let's sing a song. God bless you. Let's worship him just for a minute. What is it?
403.
Sorry, 403.
I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed, I've been reborn, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Though my sins were scarlet, they're as white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I've been changed, I've been reborn.
Anybody have a name? We're
going to
sing
life has been rearranged.
Pray for Brother Dale now, Sunday.
What
preaching.
A difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. When at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe every tear from my eyes. And I'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new home. He's giving it to you right now. Oh, I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged.
Have you thought about that? Think about your life.
It makes when the Lord has His ways.
Life, praise God, has been changed. Sing it again as you're dismissed. Oh, I've been changed. I've been reborn.